college football.
Can he take this home?
You've come to the right place.
He's gone! Touchdown again, Josh Adams!
This is your home for Chicago's college tailgate.
Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands, and guess which dogs are barking first? Ugga, get after it!
Chicago's college tailgate.
Fire to the end zone! Touchdown! Alabama wins!
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
The game is over! The Wildcats prevail!
It's time for Chicago's college tailgate on ESPN 1000.
The open field. It's the corner.
Got a great block. Unbelievable! 56 yards! Touchdown, USC!
This is Chicago's college tailgate, along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Here's Jonathan Hood.
Week 3 of Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, Jonathan Hood with you. Glad that you're with us as we build a bridge to Notre Dame football as they take on Vanderbilt. That is a 12:30 pregame, 1:30 kick right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. This is the program that gives you all the information that you need as you get ready for Week 3 for college football. The kickoffs are taking place. And gentlemen, speaking of the Irish, I don't know what Notre Dame football team is going to show up here this afternoon because, Chris, after week one, we saw dominance, especially in the first half from Notre Dame in a big game against Michigan. And then week two comes up, and I ask Adam, what do you think of the game against Ball State? And Adam says, I don't know about this Notre Dame team. I have no idea. And you know what? Adam was spot on because that 34.5, a lot of people choked on that. And even though Notre Dame won the ball game, the point is they didn't play that well against the Cardinals. So now here we are with Notre Dame Vanderbilt this afternoon.
Is it fair to say that we'll know a lot about Notre Dame based on what Indiana does today? Because Indiana faces off against Ball State. They are a favorite by 2 touchdowns. If Indiana can take care of business against Ball State, then I will be worried with Notre Dame heading against Vanderbilt. But you look at the game, maybe it was just a sleepy home game for the Fighting Irish, and maybe they can, you know, wake the echoes and go against the Vanderbilt team today and actually bounce back.
Well, we talk about it every year with college football. It's survive in advance.
Sure,
that's
absolutely
what you need to do. You have to survive in advance. So basically, yeah, if you get a letdown game, as long as you win and move on, Notre Dame is still in the college football playoff conversation. They got a tough SEC opponent today, gentlemen, in the Vanderbilt Commodores. A tough SEC opponent. Do not tread lightly on the Vanderbilt Commodores. They're only, what, a 14-point favorite today, Notre Dame is? So it'll be interesting to see how they respond to what people are calling a letdown game against Ball State.
Vanderbilt, a good offense, 407 yards per game on third down. They're converting 44% of the time, and they're scoring 38 per game, Jonathan. So this team can put up some points.
I guess the point is that everything is surrounded around Wimbush, the quarterback, and finding out how good he can be. I understand that when you look at Brian Kelly and his offense, it's an offense I think that is going to be better than it was last year. However, I guess you could say that week two was a teaching moment for Brian Kelly, that everything is not as easy as taking on the khakis of Jim Harbaugh and being able to get past him. All I look at, Adam, is this, is that if Notre Dame, it definitely, no question, because of the one loss record, they're 2-0, they're definitely in the mix as far as being in that Final Four. However, I don't know the staying power of this football team. Now, maybe this week's game will not tell us exactly who they are, but moving forward throughout the schedule for Notre Dame, maybe that will tell us a great story about who Notre Dame could be.
How long are they going to be able to mask Brandon Wimbush? He has a 50.2 QBR through two games, 16.8 last season. He has a 55% completion percentage, which is 98th in college football. So in order to make it to the college football playoff, we've seen it the last few years, you need a good quarterback. And Brandon Wimbush right now has not been able to put up the numbers. The defense has really helped him out. They've had a decent run game. But at some point, he's going to have to win them a game. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do that.
So look back to last week, though. 3 interceptions. That's the problem. Is like you can look at some of those stats, Adam, and say, all right, completion percentage down, you know, this, that, and the other. But if he's turning the ball over, putting that defense in tough spots, you're right. You're not going to win games that you need to late against really solid teams. You have Virginia Tech coming up. Mm-hmm. You have Stanford at some point. You have USC. All teams that will take advantage of a short field, even though that Fighting Irish defense is really good.
Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We ask you to follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000 CCT for Chicago's College Tailgate. Before we move forward, we got to take a look back at week two, guys, for as far as college football storylines are concerned. One of the things that stand out to me about last week was, maybe Michigan's not as bad as we thought. Okay, and Michigan was able to put up 49 points of offense, touchdown passes to wide receivers and things like that. So Adam, I will ask you this. Based on what Michigan did last week, do you think that Michigan is as bad as week one?
I think Michigan is who everybody knows Michigan is. They're a four-loss team. And when you play teams that you can put up 49 points against, they're going to do that. But when it comes time to play the Michigan States, who I know got a loss last weekend, but they're still a decent football team, and when you play the Ohio States, they lost to Notre Dame, obviously. When you play those real teams, that's when it matters. These every other week teams that you play, the directional schools, that's not going to matter because, yeah, Michigan's a good football team. But the question is, can they be good enough to beat Michigan State? Can they be good enough to beat Ohio State? They obviously weren't good enough to beat Notre Dame, who was shaky this week. But it's going to matter to them when they face the teams that Harbaugh hasn't been able to beat. And he hasn't been able to beat them for a reason, because they're just a decent football team. They're not a great football team.
And remember, before the season started, before we got to the Notre Dame game, before we saw them play well against Western Michigan, this team, Michigan, was a very polarizing team to gamble on if you were looking at win totals. Heading into the season, the over-under was 9.5. The Football Power Index from ESPN was suggesting that they were only going to win 8.4 games. So that would be an under, and like Abdallah said, if that's a four-loss team, yeah, you're right. Take care of the business that you can against Western Michigan, but when you don't beat Notre Dame, chances are you're going to struggle against the Michigan State, the Ohio States. And chances are Michigan is that team we saw in week one, not so much the team we saw against the Broncos of Western Michigan.
I hate to toot my own horn, but toot, toot. Big game, big spot in week two, and my Georgia Bulldogs on the road being able to get it done against South Carolina. Two things that stood out to me about that game. First of all, is that I don't think the Bulldogs, Adam, are going to be missing anything as far as a running game. I mean, sure, it's been running back you for the last 3-4 years with this football team, but I think running the football will not necessarily be a problem. Yes, I was nervous about that game because historically Georgia's had a problem against South Carolina over the years, but the way that they were able to run roughshod over South Carolina, where their defense wasn't even there, their secondary was really weak. I got to say, that even though it was week two, it was a big moment for Georgia, I thought.
Yeah, you put up 271 yards on the ground against South Carolina. More importantly, you go into South Carolina, a tough place to play for Georgia in the past. But as I told you, Jonathan, Mark Richt is not there anymore.
I know.
Kirby Smart has them winning football games.
I told you, don't worry about this, Georgia. Don't worry about going into South Carolina.
So much angst over
this,
here.
This ex-girlfriend is gone. You blocked her on Facebook, okay?
But her sister's always lurking.
Yes. Yeah, well, and she can create a dummy account with initials and whatnot.
You can always see looking at your IG stories as well.
But not only 271 yards on the ground, but Jacob Fromm comes in 194 yards passing, one touchdown. He does turn the ball over once, yeah. But ultimately you go into a tough SEC game, you start your SEC play, and you get a win. I think Georgia, I mean, obviously Georgia's a legitimate contender this year, but they just showed in a game where a lot of people were saying, I don't know about this Georgia team, they showed, no, this Georgia team's for real this year. Again, even though they had to reload so much after losing a lot to the NFL last year.
And probably the game of the weekend last week, Clemson eking out a win, a two-point win against Texas A&M, a great scene there. It was the Saturday night game, and a lot of us thought that game was going to be a low-scoring game, and it was going to be a fight. And for the most part of the game, until we got to the fourth quarter, that's when the offense really started to open up on both sides. What's the takeaway? The fact that Clemson, no matter what, in tight games and in big spots, Dabo Swinney and this team, they continue to win, or is it Jimbo Fisher might have this Texas A&M team up to speed a little bit quicker than some people thought?
I think that when it comes to Alabama, it's both, actually. But when it comes to the big question of Alabama in the field, people won't just say Alabama automatically, because Clemson will always be in the back of their mind, because Clemson's door is wide open for the next 4+ years. And the thing is, the difference between, to me, Alabama and Clemson is that Clemson does not have the pressure. We talked about this in week one. There's no pressure there to win. The pressure is, can Dabo be able to get it done, and when will that be? Because no one is pressuring Clemson to win like the pressure is in Alabama to win every year.
And I also think that my main takeaway, and I don't know how long this is going to last, But Dabo Swinney has somehow managed to make the two quarterback system work in his favor. He's got the young gun freshman going out there slinging it around, and when he needs a drive, when the game is on the line, he goes to the veteran quarterback on his team. That's what he does. So for now, it's working. I don't know how long it's going to work. They have a pretty easy schedule from here on out. So for now, it's working. But we've always said on the show, if you have two quarterbacks, how many quarterbacks do you have?
You have none. But here's the difference, though. Kelly Bryant has a proven track record with this team. So, you know, late in the game, he's able to drive Clemson down the field and get a score after Texas A&M got a score. So, you know, the responding touchdown. Mm-hmm. And that's something that just puts teams out of their misery. So, yeah, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. But if you have two of the, like, top 10 quarterbacks in the entire country, it's a different scenario, as you know, being an Alabama fan.
But what I'm talking about is managing them.
Yeah, right.
Because
and
you don't
keeping
want...
the expectations proper
exactly,
for both.
Because I
keeping
don't,
the team with both.
I don't think that Alabama has done a very good job of balancing them. There's a lot... We talked about the beginning of the show last week about how Jalen Hurts got his red shirt, but he came in and played in, so now he's only got two games left on his red shirt. So what are they going to do? Is he actually only going to play in two more games, or are they just going to light that red shirt on fire? Because I don't know what's going on. Tua is the best quarterback. He might be the best quarterback in the country, but I don't think they're doing the right job managing it. Right now, Dabo Swinney's doing a good job of saying, we need you now, we need you, we need you now, and tempering expectations for both guys.
When you're one of the two best teams in college football and you have two quarterbacks, you find a way to work it out.
Sure.
When you're in Chicago, in Evanston, and you got two quarterbacks and lose to Duke.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Things
are not working out.
Oh, no.
Right? I mean, right?
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. By the way, speaking of Notre Dame, again, we're building a bridge to Notre Dame against Vanderbilt. The number, Notre Dame is a 14-point favorite. Herb Street says, upset alert.
Vandy has a veteran team. Vandy is going to be a team that Brian Kelly, no matter what he says to his team, they'll probably have a tough time getting sky high emotionally for. Vandy is not going to be intimidated by playing in South Bend. They play in the SEC and they play in big stadiums all the time. I'm not saying that, hey, look out, Vandy's going to blow Notre Dame out. I'm just saying the Vandy defense alone will be very, very competitive against Brandon Wimbush and Notre Dame.
Okay, so the thoughts there from Kirk Herbstreit stepping out there, talking about Notre Dame against Vanderbilt. The other thing, since you mentioned Northwestern, sir, we got to get to that before our update here. Chris, so...
This is a democracy. Can we vote on it? Can we talk about Northwestern?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, because...
We all vote in favor.
Yes. I'll vote in favor, yes.
Yes,
okay,
because we have sound. And so when it comes to Northwestern, okay, so the loss to Duke... I mean, I know that a lot of the cities go Cats, and you know that the head coach from Northwestern walks on water. However, I think that in that spot there against Duke, I can't say I'm surprised that they lost. I'm surprised at the way that they lost. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Duke came out and they punched him in the mouth early and often, and that's how it took place. And there wasn't a lot of offense in the second half because it didn't need to be. But here's the thing: Northwestern has had a trip-up game in September now for multiple years in a row. And the last time we saw them get through September, it was actually a really decent season. Now last year, they bounced back and won a whole bunch of games after losing early. The key is, a game like this against an ACC opponent who theoretically you should probably beat at home, it's a really tough loss, especially when you are trying to take that next step in the Big Ten. And I know in their side of the conference, it's a little bit easier because you don't have to face off against Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State to fight for the divisional crown. You're just kind of worried about Wisconsin and whatever Scott Frost does at Nebraska. But if you look at Northwestern, that is a really tough loss because you have big games on the horizon. Michigan, Notre Dame, those are going to be tough situations up in Evanston.
Yeah, Adam, the other thing is, though, about that loss is that in that read that we have to do every day about all the tough home schedule for Northwestern, Duke was not on that sheet.
No, and how about this? Northwestern outgained Duke both receiving yards and rushing yards. The problem is they turned the ball over twice. You can't do that. You can't turn – both quarterbacks had an interception. You can't turn the ball over. So if you look at the game on paper, Northwestern played a better game except for the turnover. You can't turn the ball over. And that's – Northwestern's always had this problem of games that, you know, you're – these decent
trip
opponents.
Up games.
Well, that's why I want to – Duke's not a trip-up game.
Should beat them at home.
You should, but against
If you want to be a Big Ten power, you take care of Duke at home.
You should. But I'm saying that Northwestern's always had a problem with that second tier of teams. Because Duke's not a horrible team. They're not a great team. They're not like that second level of team that like you have to worry about on the schedule.
It's a good football team, there's no doubt.
Absolutely. So is Northwestern on the second tier in the Big Ten, or are they on the third tier? Because if you always struggle with the other conference's second tier opponents, then are you really not a second tier team in the conference?
Well, they had the nation's longest winning streak.
I'm aware of that, and I said that. They bounced back after an early loss last year.
I'm just saying. They had the nation's.
Okay, well, you got Akron today. You better take care of business against the Zips.
You would hope so.
Yes, it will be the Akron Zips against Northwestern, 6:30 start. Ted Albrecht with a little scotch and, I believe, a cigar on his deck talked to me earlier this week talking about what happened in the Duke game. Ted Albrecht, the color analyst for the Northwestern Wildcats.
Oh, it was. Listen, we pinned them inside their own 10-yard line twice. We had the ball on the short field three times. I mean, literally at the 50 or less. And we were inside the red zone, inside the 5-yard line, and we didn't score. I mean, that is very, very depressing. And by the way, last year, we ended up with a 10-win season, and we're 2-3 after 5 games. They've kind of been there before. You know, it was really disappointing, very disappointing. And I felt that in the post-game locker room when I interviewed Coach Fitz. But that's behind them. They moved on. Coach Fitz, I was talking to him today. He said the kids are a lot more resilient than the coaches are. We like sleep on this stuff. The kids come back, they bounce back.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Let's take a look at the top 25 scoreboard. Early scores going on here in college football as most of the games kicked off at 11 o'clock this morning. Clemson, Georgia Southern, early in the first quarter, no score. Georgia is up 7-0 on Middle Tennessee with 9:40 left in the first quarter. Oklahoma and Iowa State, 0-0. Penn State's up 7-0 on Kent State with 12:51 in the first quarter. Miami has scored on Toledo. It's 7-0 with 8:11 left in the first quarter. And let's take a quick look. Those are the games in the top 25. Let's take a quick look at the Big Ten scoreboard. Penn State, I gave you that score, is up 7-0 on Kent State. Kansas, 3-0 on Rutgers. And this is a barn burner, this one. Rutgers and Kansas. Whoever loses gets eliminated from college football. 11:22 left in the first quarter. Indiana and Ball State. Ball State's up 3-0 with 9:56 left in the first quarter. Also, Temple, Maryland, they are playing early in the first quarter, no score. Troy and Nebraska, no score early in the first quarter. Scott Frost going for his first victory at Nebraska.
You're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000.
If Kansas beats Rutgers, can Illinois beat Rutgers?
Yeah, anything's possible then. If Kansas can
beat
Rutgers?
Can they get the 4 wins?
Well, I mean, does Lovie win today?
Can we just make a bowl game between Illinois and Kansas?
Let's not.
No, come on. You would watch it.
At Gately.
You would watch it.
At Gately Stadium.
On the old AstroTurf?
Yes.
You would watch that game. I mean, come on.
You know what? Honest to goodness, I did circle that game as an upset special for Lovie. But as Howard Griffin told me, I said, give me 5 wins for Illinois. He goes, hell no, I can't give you nothing.
They're playing today at Soldier Field against USF, South Florida.
Yeah, I drove by it. Boy, you could just cut the intensity with a knife.
A lot of tailgating?
Oh, my. Yeah.
My question, as a Chicagoan, I would like to know.
Okay.
As a Chicagoan, how is that going to play out on the field? How is that turf going to be for Monday night against – never mind.
You know, I have thought about it, though.
Oh, really?
I have thought about the lack of running game for the Bears. That will be a Monday night storyline that Illinois and South Florida.
They tore up the field on Saturday.
Booger McFarland's going to be on the sideline holding up a piece of turf. Like, look at this field.
And Tessitore, this is embarrassing for the NFL.
Charter franchise.
Texas is back. As you're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app.
It's tougher to make those statements during an NFL game than it is in college football. Because in college football, we all buy it. We're like, yeah, Texas is back.
Oh, remember? Oh, wait, we thought Texas was back.
That's going to be on his epitaph. That's going to be Joe Tessitore, great boxing play-by-play guy, great football analyst. The voice of Monday Night Football. And that is going to be on his resume at the top. Texas is back. No, they're not.
Charlie
How about
Strong
that, Joe?
Fired that year.
How about that, Joe Tessitore? By the way, well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Hawaii up 7-0 against Army. Look out now.
It's early.
Look out now.
It's literally early for Hawaii.
Well, it's early. This is where they should struggle. If you are one for the body clock and you're watching a team travel back against time.
Wait till they get to the fourth quarter and their bodies are like, I've been playing football for 3 hours.
What time is it in Hawaii right now?
You tell me.
You have family there.
Text one of
don't
them.
Don't you have? It should be 6:20.
6:20.
Yeah.
Right on the dot. They're playing football and they're up on Army.
Let's talk now, guys, some big boy football. Now, nothing against Illinois, South Florida. Again, you can cut the intensity with a knife. But Ohio State against TCU is going to be a big game for us to circle here. AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Some thoughts here first from Charles Arbuckle about this game. How does he see Ohio State going into Texas against TCU?
I think the one thing, you know, everybody will say, get the ball to Kevontae Turpin. For TCU, right? Because he can make a lot of plays. But I really think with Ohio State, their defense, I've really been impressed with what they've been able to do defensively early in the year and the way they score, man. Dwayne Haskins has come in, and I mean, he has really just shown me a lot with how he's been able to play offensively. So TCU is known as a defensive ball club. They play that 4-2-5, or, you know, Gary Patterson does a lot of different things there. I think they're going to have to really do a nice job to try to stop Dwayne Haskins and how he's been able to play. I mean, he's been on a roll lately, and I think that's the one thing you look at with Ohio State. If they keep playing as well as they have been and playing with a certain chip on their shoulder with their head coach out, Ryan Day is really doing a nice job in his audition. But I think Ohio State's going to give TCU all they can handle. And I don't know. I think it's Ohio State's game to win, of course, but TCU got some speed, and they're doing some things better this year than I've seen them in the last few years. Now, Ohio State may bludgeon them, but it could be a close game, and TCU could end up winning it.
Adam, I don't see this being an advantage for TCU just because it's being played at AT&T Stadium. I think that without even being there, I think that Ohio State fans are just going to just take over that stadium and give Ohio State whatever home field advantage that they'll have. The number is 13.5, the advantage for Ohio State. I think they going away in this contest.
Well, it's going to be a different look for Ohio State that they haven't faced yet. I mean, they beat up on Rutgers last week. Okay, so this TCU defense isn't Rutgers defense. TCU hasn't allowed a red zone touchdown yet this season. Ohio State has gone in there and scored 10 of their 12 times in the red zone. Dwayne Haskins threw for 4 touchdowns last week. Okay, so this isn't going to be as easy as Rutgers was. This is a different kind of defense. They haven't seen this kind of defense yet. So look for TCU to play really close to these receivers. Look for them to bump them a lot, try to get them uncomfortable a lot, and try to force Dwayne Haskins into looks that he's not familiar with and try to get him to turn over the ball. I think that's going to be the key for Ohio State is, can Dwayne Haskins avoid throwing in interceptions? If he can, yes. I think that Ohio State can run away with this. I think they can win by 14, maybe, you know, 20 points here, 21 points here. I think it's going to be late, though. I don't think it's going to be – it'll be close through the first three quarters, but I think Ohio State can pull away.
To Abdallah's point on defense, yards per play, TCU is 9th in the country to this point. And if you look at the stat sheet for Ohio State, and Abdallah mentioned many times, against Rutgers, they put it on, right? So, like, a lot of the stats for Ohio State – are a bit inflated based on how bad Rutgers is. And if you look at the stat sheet, I mean, this team, Ohio State, to this point, like in all categories, well, the better offenses in all of college football. I mean, Haskins has 9 touchdown passes already through 2 games. You also look at the fact in overall performance, the S&P Plus, Ohio State's the 2nd-ranked team in the country. So, you know, like, there's a lot of stats that kind of point to the fact that Ohio State should run TCU out of the building. But then you also have to factor in the human side, right? Like, Gary Patterson usually has his Horned Frogs ready to play, especially in big spots.
Well, and to your point about Patterson is, if this is a late game situation, how much does it matter that Urban Meyer's not on the sideline? If this comes down to the last 4 minutes and Haskins has the ball, how is it going to affect him that Urban Meyer's not there calling plays for him? And that they have the backup. I know their assistants are very good. They're top.
Yeah, no, it's
you know,
different. And there's
in the
a
country.
Reason, Abdallah. There's a reason why Urban Meyer is the absolute best
exactly
head coach in all of college football if you need to win one game. There's a reason. He is great in that situation. Gary Patterson, really good as well. Now that you remove Urban Meyer from the mix, maybe something's miscommunicated. Maybe a timeout's used here where Urban Meyer wouldn't. Maybe a play call is different that Urban Meyer would suggest. I would feel comfortable if Ohio State's up big early, then you feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
This is a tight game late. I think you'd have to favor the Horned Frogs.
I don't think there's any question about it. This is a big game, not only for Ohio State, but because of Ryan Day, because this is the biggest game that he's ever coached. And because and here's the thing. If Ohio State is going to dominate as much as I think that they will, then Ohio State, for the most part, is on autopilot without Urban Meyer. Now, of course, we know Urban Meyer is prepping the team, even though he's not there. But this is the last game that he's going to miss. Ryan Day, his thoughts.
Well, we got a big challenge ahead of us. You know, TCU is a program, and Coach Patterson done a great job over the last, you know, 20 years of really creating a program that's one of the best in the country. So we know that coming into the game. Guys are excited, had a really good week of preparation, and so we're excited about it.
Mm-hmm. And we know that Coach Patterson is a defensive technician, so we know it'll be a chess match when your new starting quarterback takes the field. What's been your message to Dwayne Haskins?
Well, it's the same thing, you know, not to, you know, overthink anything that's going on. Our preparation's been the same, practice has been the same, but this defense poses a new challenge. You know, they got good speed, and their defense has great answers. You know, they adjust quickly to what you're trying to do, and so we have to be on top of that as the game goes on.
Adam, you have an answer that maybe Ryan Day should have given to Maria.
Stop Taylor. Asking me about my okay. young quarterback.
this game is on ABC tonight. Ohio State and TCU earlier this morning. Lee Corso decided. Was it the Horned Frog or Brutus?
What do you do?
He put the Brutus head on his
yeah absolutely
on his head. Gary, so Lee Corso going with Ohio State tonight.
Gary Patterson upset about that.
For us, as we're trying to catch up, you know, historically they've been that way forever, Ohio State has, and for us it's about catching up with it because we want to become one of those that people don't say that this, you know, we're an underdog approach. Because we play with a chip on our shoulder, but we're really not an underdog. And so how do we get to where people understand that TCU's a big-time place? And, you know, we go out and try to prove that every day.
CCT scoreboard as well as our Saturday night specials next.
All of the latest college football scores, previews, and lines. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
I'm Chris Fleck for Chicago's College Tailgate. Here's a top 25 scoreboard. Clemson, Georgia Southern are still scoreless with 3:57 left in the first quarter. Georgia's up 7-0 on Middle Tennessee in the first quarter. Oklahoma is on the board 3-0 to Iowa State with 5:49 left in the first quarter. Kent State and Penn State tied at 7 with 9 minutes left in the first quarter. Miami, upset alert. Miami's up 7-0 on Toledo with 3 minutes left in the first quarter. And taking a look around the Big Ten as well, barn burner between Rutgers and Kansas. 10 minutes left in the first quarter. Kansas is up 10-0 on Rutgers. Ball State 3, Indiana 3 with 6 minutes left in the first quarter of that one. Temple and Maryland scoreless, 2 minutes left in the first quarter, and Troy is on the board 3-0 early against Nebraska, 4 minutes left in the first quarter. Scott Frost, hot seat all right. No, I'm just kidding. But
no.
Troy has the ball and driving into enemy territory with the ball, driving up 3-0 on Nebraska early. 4 minutes left in the first quarter. That's the scoreboard.
That is, it's not a fait accompli that Nebraska's going to roll over Troy. I'm saying that right now. I gave a number. Eric, you remember, I was mentioning this in our College Football 10 the other day, talking about Troy. Troy is a good football team for their level in the South, but it's a good football team. Don't be surprised now. Look out now. That you might see something special there
in
that ball game.
Don't do that to Scott Frost. He's looking for his first win. Did you see all the signage and everything for him coming home to Nebraska? Are you kidding me? They got to win this game.
Another entitled program, Nebraska. Oh,
yep. I mean, they haven't been good since you could wear a half shirt and still play football.
There's nothing better than walking into Kirkwood's bar on Sheffield Avenue, because even though their name is Kirkwood's, they're an IU bar and a Nebraska bar, and just seeing a sea of sad red. Just a sad, sad red fan base.
And shirts everywhere.
Yep. Yeah,
and bad loafers and the whole deal.
All right, that is Chicago's College Tailgate Scoreboard here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. It is now time for our Saturday night specials.
It's time to put money in your pocket.
What's wrong with making a few bucks on the side?
It's the Saturday night special.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, you need to know the winner, and I know the winner.
It's time to put money in your pocket. Yeah. It's the Saturday night special on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.
All right, place your bet.
Every week we give our Saturday night specials right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. We ask you to follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000CCT, getting you ready for week three in college football. A lot of games underway, the 11 o'clock kicks, and of course there's going to be some interesting games later on tonight as well. So how did you do last week? Do you remember? 1-2?
Yeah, I went 2-1 last week, so now in the season I'm 3-3. So this week I'm looking to go over the 500 mark.
Adam?
I want to protest. No, I don't actually.
What are you protesting?
That whole over-under thing from last week.
Yeah, because it hit.
You show up with the wrong number. Not my problem.
I didn't show up with the wrong number. I had the right number. It still didn't go under.
Sure you did.
51.5?
Yeah, if we would have taken your number, you would have lost. Just remember that. Just remember. Put the asterisk next to it.
You put an asterisk next to it, pal.
Just remember it.
No. So let's take a look now at this week's.
What did you do, Jonathan?
I think I was 1-2 again.
So we're all right, bounce back week. Let's get after it.
Chalk time Charlie here for week number three to get back off the schneid. This one is an easy one for me. We'll just go to the lakefront here for the barn burner of South Florida against Illinois.
Yes.
So South Florida is an 11-point favorite. I love the 11. I love the under in this game as well because I don't think Illinois can score enough to get to 59 to help that number. So I love the under. I've been going back and forth on which one I'll go with. I'll just go with the safe South Florida, with and actually the last win of the season for Illinois. South Florida minus 11 against Illinois. Chris?
The problem with that now is you have to pay attention to that game throughout the day.
It'll be on my phone. I mean, the scoreboard.
Yeah, you just get a score alert. Yeah. Just
hey,
score alert.
Do you have the upset alert handy?
Oh, yeah.
Because a score we did not give. Syracuse right now is up 3-0 on Florida State.
Oh.
So.
can you imagine? By the way, last game, I was watching the second half of Florida State-Samford.
Oh, yeah.
And so I found that. I got the rabbit ears out and was able to adjust the
a little
television.
More to the left.
Yeah, exactly.
A little more to the left.
Brought to you by Bojangles, of course. And so that game was in the balance. And all you could see is Florida State fans on their computers trying to find GoDaddy accounts so they can find out if they can own FireWillieTaggart.com.
Now, is this going to be the quickest a head coach is on the hot seat in the history of college football? If they lose today to Syracuse, I have inside information from someone who was on campus. The vibe on campus was Syracuse is going to win big over Florida State.
I don't know about big, but that's definitely in the balance.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Go ahead.
I just want to get that out there now that Syracuse is up, because I think all of us would have been on Syracuse if this show was an hour earlier.
I was.
But that was a 11 o'clock kick, so let's move forward. Here's my pick. The first one I'm going to give you guys, this line was higher earlier in the week. We were looking at 56, 57 in some spots for the over-under. It's now at 54.5. Louisville and Western Kentucky, Bobby Petrino's crew, the Cardinals, I think they're going to put up some points. I think the Hilltoppers will match them with some scores as well. I like this game on the ACC Network at 6:30 to go over the 54.5.
All right, over 54.5 in the Louisville game. All right, Adam?
Guys, 4-2 total, 1-2 last week. So let's go to 2:30 Central Time. Auburn and LSU, SEC, two SEC powerhouses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, LSU, are they technically?
We're going to find out if LSU, LSU wins, yes.
Yeah. Jarrett Stidham against Joe Dirt. Joe Burrow, Joe Dirt, as the kids call him on campus. Burrow has only completed 47% of his passes, and that was against Southeastern Louisiana.
Not great.
So not great, Bob. Auburn is 9th in the country in the Football Power Index on ESPN. LSU is 20th. I think Auburn is the much better team. They're a 10-point favorite. I think they cover the 10. pretty easily. I like Auburn minus 10 against LSU.
Second game for us here for our Saturday night specials here on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I am a Herm fan. I am standing behind Herm. The reason why is because everyone else thinks that it's a joke program, that he's just there to preach. Herm knows how to coach. The only issue I have with Herm is, can he take care of the 75% of the administrative side? Coaching, that's fine. The 75% of the administrative, that's the whole deal, because that's really college football in a nutshell. So they take on San Diego State. Couple of nice wins, one against Michigan State. No surprises, veteran observer, because of the body clock.
Body clock.
Yep, body clock for Michigan State going into 100-degree heat. Got it done. So San Diego State, I see this game at 47.5. I like the under in this game. Arizona State, San Diego State, even though San Diego State, that's running back you too, also. They've got terrific running backs over the last 3-4 years. I like the under in the Sun Devils, San Diego State Aztecs game. Chris?
Okay, guys, I'm going to give you something to watch late tonight. ESPN, 9 o'clock. You got a TV set ready for that. If you're at the bar, make sure you find this game. Washington, a team we talked about in our first week as a possible playoff team if they could get through September. Well, they lost to Auburn, and now they have another tough test going on the road to face Utah. Here's the key with this one. The line is Utah is getting 4.5 points at home against Washington, the Huskies. Here's the key. Utah, their quarterback, Tyler Huntley, has been really good, and this is a tough, sneaky tough place to play road games at. Utah always shows up. They're tough. They're hard-nosed. They find a way to win games. I love Utah here and the points, the 4.5.
Uh-oh, upset.
Upset on Washington. Upset on Washington. I love Utah and the points.
Is part of the reason why is because they're at the crib?
At the crib, tough to play at home, and then you know that team's going to show up. They're averaging 29 points per game. Washington, 30.5 points per game. I think this is going to be close either way, no matter who wins. If you're giving me 4.5, I'm going with the Utes.
Well, Jake Browning has to be in a body cast in order for that to happen. Uh-oh. Go ahead, Adam.
Uh-oh. Guys, for my second game, I was going to go with an upset because yesterday Boise State was a 2-point dog. Oh. Now they're a 2.5-point favorite. Yes. So I'm going to stay away from that. Right. We talked a lot last...
It's going to be a frisky Adam Amin game as well.
I can't wait for that. Yeah. Adam Amin, blue turf, let's do it.
Touchdown!
Boise, hopefully. So anyway, Ohio State and TCU. We talked a lot about it last segment. I think Ohio State's the better team. I think they can win. I said I think they can win by more than 2 touchdowns. So I'm going to take them to win by more than 2 touchdowns. They are a 13.5-point favorite. I like Ohio State minus 13.5.
13.5. All right. All right. My third pick for Saturday Night Specials is that same game. Ohio State against TCU. I like the over. I have it at 55. Where do you have it, Adam? Do you have it at 55? I locked it in early this morning at 55.
Ohio State and TCU, 59. The over is 59.
Oh, 59 now.
It is now 59.
You know what? Even though
say
I
hello to
in,
that one.
I locked it in at 55 this morning. Since it's up to 59, now let's go with that 59. Since this is what we're doing on the show right now.
We got to help the people out there. If someone's listening right now, the number they're going to see is the number we're seeing at this moment.
Yeah. Or you could buy 4 points.
Yeah, you want to buy 4 points? How much is that going to cost you?
I got you. I got it here. That was a check from this last past Friday. I can get that. So 59. We'll take the over in that contest. Chris?
Wow, shootout. Okay. All right, guys. In this space last week, I gave you some information about knowing your favorite team and then going against expectations that you see set before your home team.
Don't
and now, if you're listening to this show,
don't do that.
Whoever your team is, maybe you're a Michigan fan, maybe you're a fan of Notre Dame, maybe Northwestern, Michigan State,
Illinois.
My favorite college football team is the USC Trojans. Here's the thing.
Oh, no.
Last year, what we knew about USC was the fact that USC, against the spread, they were 3-10-1.
Oh, no.
Clay Helton, since he's been the head coach at this school, has been atrocious. In-game management, his lack of ability to change on the fly. For some reason, everyone on the roster has to get a try. We can't pick one running back. We got to try 7 in a game. Who cares if we have our quarterback out there struggling? Let's not help him. Why would we do that? Here's the thing. You fool me once, blank you the rest of the season.
No.
Because here's the key. with USC. They are going into a tough spot against Tom Herman and Texas. You can see that game later on tonight. It's on Fox. It's at 7 o'clock. Here's the key in this one.
Is that Tim Brando special or no?
Texas, I think it's going to be a Gus Johnson. So you better watch out for that one. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Texas is going to be ready. The Longhorns need a win to get back. Finally, the Longhorns are going to be back. They need a big win.
Texas.
And when USC goes on the road, they don't adjust. We have now seen, since the start of last season, after two underperforming performances from USC this year, they're now 3-12-1 against the spread since the start of last season. I don't know if you guys saw Monday night, but there's a really good chance that a certain quarterback that plays for the New York Jets now saved Clay Helton's butt multiple times last year. It was written in Inside USC this week that it's not just T. Martin calling the plays. It's Clay Helton and the quarterback's coach all trying to chime in live game action, calling the plays at once. Not one voice, three, trying to call plays throughout the game.
Chicago's College Tailgate here on 710 ESPN LA.
With a true freshman quarterback, JT Daniels, who's getting no help, not moving the ball down the field, this is a really, really tough spot. They always underperform. They're not prepared for big games. I'm taking the Longhorns.
Oh, no. Don't do it.
Minus the 3.5 because this, guys, I am not being dramatic about this. This is going to be a 10-14-point game. The Trojans, if they win this game, I will be shocked as a USC fan. I think this thing is spiraling down the toilet bowl, and this is going to be a problem from here on out with Clay Helton. We've seen it in multiple years past.
This is going
to happen again.
Yes.
It's in Texas.
Okay.
The Longhorns are going to get USC by more than 3.5.
Is this a tarmac game?
The Royal Texas Memorial Stadium is where this will take place.
See, here's the key. They won't fire Clay Helton on the tarmac because he's a nice guy. And that's what everyone likes him because he's nice, and that's his problem. He doesn't have the edge to say, we're going with one running back. We're going with one quarterback. We're doing it this way.
Understand? And we know why they left Lane on the tarmac.
Well, yeah, because he's the music man.
Do you understand, Adam, why I don't bet on my team?
Yeah.
Why I Herb Street my game and move it.
I get that.
That is such an emotional pick.
I get that.
And I'm fine with it because if they surprise and delight, I'm good that way. But I'm going with my head here. There is no way that they're going to show out tonight. And I guarantee you, if you want me to look up the first quarter line, I'll play that as well because there's no way USC. Look, first quarter line minus 2.5 for Texas. I'm taking that as well because there's no way.
First half line.
We have never seen this Trojan team show up and be ready to play.
Come on, Chris.
I love it. I love it.
All right, lastly. Go ahead.
All right, lastly, much like Chris is going with his team, I'm going to make a play on my team as well.
God.
Alabama and Ole Miss. Ole Miss gave up 41 to the Salukis. The Southern Illinois Salukis hung 41 up of them. Now Ole Miss hung. He was texting some SEC hate early, and I go, just wait. All and right. Then Ole Miss hung 76 on them. So Ole Miss can score. Trust me, Ole Miss can score. They're not going to hang 76 on Alabama. And much as I was listening to 101 The Tide and Coach Saban's show, as I tweeted you guys,
yes.
Coach Saban was talking about the Mamba mentality and how they're always playing against themselves. And what did the Mamba like to do? The Mamba liked to shoot. I don't think Saban's going to take his foot off the gas anymore. We saw him not do it last week when they were playing the directional schools. I don't think he's going to do it again this time. I think that Alabama can hang 60 or 70 on Ole Miss. I think that Ole Miss is going to score as well. The over is 71. Alabama, this might clear by the third quarter. I love the over 71. All my money.
All right. We'll post those picks at ESPN 1000 CCT. Those are our Saturday night specials right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Still to come on the program, Colin Wilson from The Athletic will be with us with his picks for the week 3 in college football. Also, we got to get to the Heisman watch and playoff prediction, all part of CCT on a week 3 here on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. This is your home for Chicago's College Tailgate and the home for Fighting Irish football, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with you. So glad you're with us here. Walking up to Notre Dame football, they take on Vanderbilt, 12:30 pregame, 1:30 tick. kick right here on the home of the Fighting Irish, ESPN 1000. Time for a CCT scoreboard.
Thanks. The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Don't step on the imaging.
Thank you, Jonathan. As we head into the second quarter for the 11 o'clock kicks, and we take a look at the top 25, Clemson's up 7-0 on Georgia Southern with 8:25 left in the second quarter. Georgia's up 21-0 on Middle Tennessee State with 8:56 left in the second quarter. 10-10 is the score with Oklahoma and Iowa State, 13 minutes in the second quarter.
Watch it.
Penn State's up 21-7 in that one as the second quarter kicks off. Miami's up 14-0 on Toledo. There are 6 minutes left in the second quarter in that contest. If we take a look at the Big Ten scoreboard, so we wrap things up here, Kansas up 17-7 on Rutgers as the second quarter starts. We were talking about earlier in the first hour of the show about how Ball State played Notre Dame. Indiana's up 17-3 on Ball State with 10 minutes left in the second quarter. So we were kind of talking about how Indiana plays against Ball State will tell us a better story about how Notre Dame played against Ball State. And right now, Indiana's up big
body
on Ball State.
Though, right?
Temple is up 14-0 on Maryland with 6 minutes left in the second quarter. And do we have an upset sound effect? Troy is up 10-0 on Nebraska with 8:33 left in the second quarter. Troy driving once again.
Someone checked in on that earlier this morning.
Yes.
Someone would say it's getting frosty in Nebraska.
And that's the scoreboard here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Terrible pun.
Chicago's Abdallah. College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with Adam and Chris, Jonathan Hood with you. Glad you're with us. Let's go to the Action Network. Let's go to the Athletic and say hello to Colin Wilson as we get ready for some of the later games here for week three in college football. He joins us here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Colin, as always, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. I got six TVs in front of me. I got six bets in front of me. So if you hear a little bit of a remark, it could be an Indiana like punt return for a touchdown. Right?
By the way, before we go dig into this, Troy, not surprising, right?
Yeah.
A little closer than the experts think against Nebraska.
Yeah, so Troy was around, it was in a dead number all week, around 11 and 12, and then it started to take some money and it started to come down. I think it was 9.5 before the steam really came in. And this game was really all about Adrian Martinez and whether or not he was going to play. The news reports came out and they said, oh, we're going to wait till 2 minutes before the game to decide if he's going to play or not. Andrew Bunch comes out onto the field immediately. If I was playing a live game, I'd bet more on Troy. I think that's really all this is, you know, Adrian Martinez is their best player and he didn't play today. So, you know, Nebraska's going to have problems from the start and it looks that way.
Colin, a line that's moved about 5 points so far is Boise State opened up at about a 3-point dog. Now they're a 2.5-point favorite. How do you see this one with all this movement?
Yeah, this is the egg on Colin's face for the day. I mean, I'm already starting to write apology tweets out for everybody because I took Oklahoma State on the open at -2.5. Boise State's proven nothing to me. I mean, they blew out UConn, no big deal. They went down to Troy in week one, and they were gifted a whole bunch of turnovers to cover that game. Troy should have covered that game, but you know, I thought coming down to play, a Big 12 team in a hostile environment, which Stillwater, the fans are right there on top of you, right next to the sideline. I thought it would just be a little bit too much for Boise, but this line has absolutely moved. I mean, from 2.5, money from sharp guys, wise guys, Joes, anybody that's got money and their grandparents is going lining up and betting on Boise. This thing is all the way out to 2.5 and 3 in most books. Boise gets some additions back. They get three players back on their roster that they needed. They do play stout defense. They're a legitimate team. The only thing wrong with Oklahoma State is that, they have turnover at cornerback and wide receiver position, and they haven't had a very good success rate they've lived and died off of explosive plays on their offense. It's not really that they've been able to move the chain. So, I just thought that being at home, this was a hostile environment. I thought this number was a complete overreaction because the South Point had this listed at Oklahoma State -6 over the summer in the game of the year market. So I thought this was low, and now it's just a crazy 9-point move off 2 weeks of play.
We were joking in the scoreboard about Indiana and what they were doing to Ball State early, and the reason being is we were talking about Notre Dame, and they struggled to cover last week, and they didn't cover against Ball State. How do you see this game against Vanderbilt shaping up? Right now, Notre Dame's a 2-touchdown favorite at the moment.
Yeah, I have money on Notre Dame. I was able to grab them on 13. I didn't take much into account from Ball State last week. you know, it was kind of a letdown hangover spot from the win against Michigan. I didn't expect to see Notre Dame's best performance. Ball State, you know, when Mike New has a healthy team, they can move the ball, and they proved that in the first week against Central Connecticut State. I figured that they would get this, you know, I didn't think it would be that close, although there was a couple scores at the end that made it, I think, an eight-point game to close it out. But, you know, I still have faith in Notre Dame and what they are. Vanderbilt, on the other hand, they always beat Middle Tennessee. People look at that as a great game for them, but they beat them every year, no matter how bad Vanderbilt is. They have Stockstill the coach. They have Stockstill the quarterback. They have their number. They always do. Nevada, I mean, that's a defense-optional team from the Mountain West. They were one of the worst bottom 10 teams in defense all of last year, and I think Vanderbilt was just kind of too big, too fast, and, you know, facing a defense-optional team, I wasn't really impressed with that. So I'm rolling with Notre Dame minus 13. It's not my biggest bet of the day. It's not my favorite bet of the day, but I think these guys might feel a little embarrassed by their performance against Ball State this week, and I expect them to show up. And if Brandon Wimbush is ineffective like he was last week, it's time for Ian Book. And Ian Book, we know, can get the ball down the field.
Colin Wilson from the Action Network, as well as The Athletic, with us on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Colin, as you look at USC-Texas, USC traveling to Royal Texas Memorial Stadium, how do you see that matchup? Can USC pull off an upset?
I don't think so. The number is on the move as we speak here. One of the sharpest books has moved it from through a 3.5 and up to a 4. It was sitting at 3 the entire week. The advantage in this game is the Texas rush offense. They can move the ball. They can move the chains. It's not explosive by any means. Neither team has been explosive. Both teams have looked very ugly in the first 2 weeks. But Texas does have a little bit of advantage on the ground. I think that's where they're going to be able to win the game. I think it's going to be explosive game. I think it's going to be quite boring if you're going to watch this instead of TCU Ohio State. I do like Texas in the game. I bought them at minus 3. If you're worried about the minus 4 later on today and you're catching on the line late, play it live and catch Texas minus 3. But, you know, JT Barrett's hand is still a little bit JT Daniels' hand is still a little bit banged up from the Stanford game last week. And Clay Helton's coaching, I just think he's going to get out-coached here by Herman. I think Helton's going to be on a massive hot seat after this game.
A game that's kind of had the line hasn't moved a lot, and I'm kind of surprised by that, is Ohio State and TCU. Ohio State, a 13.5 point favorite in most places. Are you surprised this hasn't gone up to over 14 yet?
I'm surprised it hasn't. I think the money's going to come in. Ohio State is one of those teams like the New York Yankees, like Notre Dame. You can't really get a clear line on them because usually there's so much public money that comes in on them that it takes, you know, some really large opposite side money to get it to move the other way. I think some money's going to come here in the next couple hours, and you're going to be able to get TCU at 14. Both these teams are so good at scoring. Specifically, Ohio State is just, you know, they're one of the most talented offensive teams in the country. They should have no problem scoring against TCU, who can't defend explosiveness. At the same time, TCU is fantastic on special teams. They can return any punt for a touchdown. I expect this to be a crazy game of just, you know, heavyweights taking haymakers at each other. And TCU's going to find a way to avoid their offensive line, how inexperienced they are, and how Ohio State's defensive line is going to just chomp them up and eat them up. I think TCU keeps it within the number. I've already got into some TCU 13.5 myself. The one thing that scares me about Ohio State is that first game against Oregon State. We're talking Oregon State's offense put 31 points on the board in the first three quarters. On the road. That was eye-opening me. That was shocking. And if Ohio State is going to allow explosive plays through the air and on the ground, if you look at those plays Oregon State ran, two of them, were 70-yard runs, touchdowns, and one of them was a 49-yard pass. I mean, that's eye-opening to me, and I think TCU is going to be able to pull a couple of those off today.
You can follow Colin on Twitter at _Colin1. And as always, Colin, we appreciate your time. Come on with us again.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
It is Colin Wilson from The Athletic, as well as the Action Network, with us here on ESPN 1000 for Chicago's College Tailgate. And look out now. Look out. Hawaii, Army, tied at 14. 5 minutes left for the half in that one.
Still a lot of time left. Got to get that body clock set.
14-14.
Army was a 6.5-point favorite when the game went off.
So Army, Hawaii. Look out now for that one.
The other upset that I'm keeping my eyes on that is not in the top 25 or the Big Ten, Syracuse 3-0 in the second quarter with the ball, traveling into Florida State territory right now, 11 minutes left. Syracuse with the lead on Florida State. Willie Taggart, if Florida State loses today,
don't do that.
He's going to be on the hot seat.
my God, that's not right.
It's not right, but that's how it works.
I wish we had more time. And the reason why is because it would be it's a longer conversation about a guy who just got into the program and this entitled Florida State team. Bowden's not walking through that door anymore. The idea that Taggart's supposed to walk in and they're supposed to be national champions like Frost walking into Nebraska is not right.
Wait a minute.
You still have to be able to build a program. For Willie Taggart, yeah, they struggled against Stanford last week. But it's not his fault in year one, for God's sakes. Now, here's something that we can really chew into, USC Texas. Now, you have two coaches that I think are on the hot seat. Because Paul Feinbaum was asked about Tom Herman. Is he on the hot seat at Texas?
I don't think he's in danger of getting fired, but he's in danger of losing credibility. That's Tom Herman. Tom Herman's at Texas. That's a place that should be good, and they haven't been. And he's lost to Maryland 2 years in a row. He has a critical game this week against an average Southern Cal team. Remember, Tom Herman was Urban Meyer's offensive coordinator when they won the title in 14. He was the hottest coach in the country, and he has been underwhelming in Austin so far.
Why? I don't understand this. Texas feels like a program that has the resources, has the ability to be Alabama, to be what Ohio State is right now. So why aren't they?
Well, recruiting went okay, but he's got another problem, and I think recruiting is where it starts. Suddenly, Jimbo Fisher is in that state, and Jimbo Fisher is beating him in the state of Texas, and that is a nasty problem for Tom Herman.
Paul Feinbaum will get up.
Well, it's not just Tom Herman, Jimbo Fisher, but it's also Gary Patterson, who does a great job at TCU, one of the marquee matchups tonight against Ohio State. So it's really tough to coach down in Texas. There's a ton of talent down there. We also know that LSU dips a little into Texas for their recruiting base as well. Here's the thing. USC Texas is going to, and Colin said it, you know, it's going to be an ugly matchup because neither of these teams are very good, and it's really up to the one that shows up to actually play to somewhat of their level of performance to actually come through and win, and I don't expect that to be USC. Colin's right. If USC loses tonight, Clay Helton will be on the hot seat. No, make no doubts about that.
Speaking of not very good, Troy up 17-0 on Nebraska.
Oh!
And this isn't an upset because they're favored, but Kansas is up 24-7 on Rutgers.
So Illinois has a shot when they play Kansas, when they play Rutgers later this year.
That's a game I circle. I told you that.
Bottom of the Big Ten is so bad.
But the Big Ten is the strongest conference in college football.
Well, guys, remember.
Just ask them.
Remember, you got that network in the New Jersey market, right? The TV market. You got that hot New Jersey TV market over there. So, I mean, it's worth it to have them in the conference, right, as a bottom feeder?
Big finish here. Let's do Heisman Watch.
It's college football's highest honor.
From now on, your name will be followed by the words Heisman Trophy Winner.
Who will be the Heisman? Along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Here's Jonathan Hood.
Follow us on Twitter at ESPN1000CCT. That's where you can find us for Chicago's College Tailgate. Adam, Chris, and Jonathan with you. Now time for Heisman Watch. Here's Chris Black.
So on ESPN.com, the experts on ESPN.com have the Heisman Watch. And right now, after 2 weeks, Will Greer is the favorite to win the Heisman. Last week against Youngstown State, he threw for 4 touchdowns, 332 yards, and so far in the season he has 9 touchdowns, 1 interception, a completion percentage of 76.7. Will Greer, the quarterback for West Virginia, is the leader. The second person in the Heisman Watch on ESPN.com is Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle from Houston. Last week we saw Houston show out against Arizona. Big time upset. He is second, and then third it would be Jonathan Taylor, running back for Wisconsin. He had 3 touchdowns last week, 253 yards. He has 5 touchdowns on the season. The running back for Wisco.
Anything in the South that me and Adam would be interested in?
Well, I would tell you this. If we go to Vegas, the Vegas favorite right now is Tua Tagovailoa. He went 13 of 19 for 228 yards and 4 touchdowns, 3 of those in the first quarter.
I will also say that Jake Fromm should be in the team photo for that. The way Fromm performed, it wasn't great, but I see the arrow pointing up for Fromm. He should be in that team photo.
Both names are good, and one other name who is playing at the moment, Oklahoma's quarterback Kyler Murray. He's 9 for 12 today, 213 yards and 2 scores, 2 touchdowns. He is on the list as the 4th-rated player to win the Heisman at this moment. Moving on up, he has 5 touchdowns on the season. You add 2 more, so he has 7 now. He has 1 interception. Kyler Murray, remember, he's going to go play baseball after this season. Drafted by the Oakland Athletics, they've allowed him to play 1 year of college football at Oklahoma. He is their star quarterback. Oklahoma's a really good team right now, being tested by Iowa State.
Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000.
The CCT Scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Here's Chris Black. Chris?
Clemson right now with 2 minutes left in the second quarter, up 14-0 on Georgia Southern. Georgia is up 28-0 on Middle Tennessee State. Enjoy that cupcake, Jonathan, with 5 minutes left in the second quarter.
Tasty, isn't it?
As we just mentioned, Oklahoma playing a tough game against Iowa State right now. 7 minutes left in the second quarter. It's 17-10. Boomer Sooner. Penn State's up 21-7 on Kent State with 10 minutes left in the second
James
quarter.
Franklin's overrated. Excuse me.
The U is up 14-0 on Toledo with 3 minutes left in the second quarter. And if we take our eyes from the top 25 and over to the Big Ten, Kansas is up 24-7 on Rutgers with 10 minutes left in the second quarter. Indiana 17-3 on Ball State with 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Remember, Notre Dame didn't cover against Ball State last week, but right now Indiana is at the moment. I believe that line closed at 14, so it would be a push at the moment. But Indiana up 17-3. Temple is up on Maryland 14-7 with 3 minutes left in the second quarter. And as we mentioned a couple minutes ago, the game we're watching in the Big Ten, the upset special, Troy is up 17-0 on Nebraska with 3 minutes left in the second quarter.
What is the game of the week? Adnan Virk says it's Auburn against LSU. Oh, turn this off and then play this.
I think that's a really intriguing SEC matchup because LSU have been waiting for years for them to do something big. And maybe they won't until that matchup against Alabama was that first Saturday in November. But Joe Burrow's been good so far, and I like Brissett, the running back, and honestly, their offensive line is fantastic. And one of the best matchups of this weekend is going to be the LSU offensive line against that Auburn defensive line. If you like football in the trenches like I do, then that's a matchup that I think is very compelling. Jarrett Stidham was not very good at all last week, but I do think he'll play better against the LSU defense. But I root for Ed Orgeron. You know, we don't cheer for teams, but I root for people. I like Ed Orgeron a lot, and I'd love to see LSU get over the hump. So I think that's a critical game against Auburn, an Auburn team that had that great week one win against Washington, which unfortunately does the Pac-12 a little bit. In terms of marquee matchups, like Texas-USC is interesting because you're talking about top 10 and most FBS wins and most bowl victories and most national championships, so lots of history. But USC is taking a step back without Donald and Ronald Jones, and Texas in year two under Herman has yet to get to that next level. They haven't been very inspiring at 1-1 so far. So honestly, I'm looking at LSU-Auburn. I think that's going to be the game of the weekend.
And then Vert from College Football Final with me earlier this week here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. By the way, college football is more than just a national championship. It's about, obviously, the trophies that you win in those rivalry games and also trying to help your fellow man. Colgate was able, because they couldn't play, there's a number of games canceled because of Hurricane Florence. Colgate gave their Chick-fil-A, all of the food that they were going to have for lunch and dinner, gave it to victims of Hurricane Florence, which is really cool. A number of college football teams did, but I know Colgate did for sure, Chris. So a number of games canceled because of that devastating hurricane.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough situation if you're in the Carolinas or the surrounding states with all the rain that's going to be coming in over the weekend, so be safe. And then also, we'll see how this kind of shakes out. If any of these games get made up later in the season, the ones that were canceled, and then if it has any impact on games that are in the surrounding areas that could get rain today.
Yeah, and a lot of teams are just going outright and canceling them. Some of them try to reschedule them during like an off week or something like that. But logistically, it's hard for those teams, especially trying to get back into the area, all the repairs that everybody has to deal with, taking care of their families, which is first and foremost the most important thing, is making sure everybody is safe and healthy. But once they get back and everything is back to somewhat normal, then they can worry about scheduling and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of pushed to the back burner when you're worried about people's safety.
Yeah, so all the best to the families that are dealing with that hurricane. Also, this hurricane just came just in time for North Carolina as they were going to get their ass beat by UCF. Let's now do the playoff predictor.
Chicago's College Tailgate. The playoff predictor. Sure, it's a guess, but it's as educated of a guess as there can be.
Because when it comes to deciding the four teams in the playoff, everything matters.
In a game of hypotheticals.
Who's in?
All right, Chris, let's take a look at the playoff predictor.
Okay, as we stand here today on the third week of college football, you know, the first 2 weeks, not that it was bad college football, but we haven't seen the upsets that we usually see early in the season. So as we sit here, week three of the college football season, this is how I see the playoff at this moment, Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Georgia 3, and I have Oklahoma as the fourth best team in the country. I have Ohio State sitting at 5, 6 Wisconsin, 7 Auburn, and I put Notre Dame at 8. I had Notre Dame at 5 last week. I didn't like what I saw against Ball State.
I would agree with that 4. I just want to know what the trip-up game is for Oklahoma, because with the way Georgia played against South Carolina, they played very well. I think Clemson is the closest team to Bama, and Oklahoma is fourth on my list as well. I want to find out if there's a trip-up game that can take Oklahoma out of that fourth spot.
And I disagree with both of you. I don't think both Alabama and Georgia are getting in this year. I think you're going to have an undefeated Clemson team. You probably are going to have an undefeated Oklahoma team and an undefeated Ohio State team. And if you look at Ohio State's schedule, it is good enough that if they go undefeated, they're going to deserve a spot in the college football playoff. And I think the committee is going to see that SEC championship game, should it shake out between Georgia and Alabama, as a de facto play-in game for that spot. So if Georgia and Alabama both go undefeated and they face each other in the SEC championship game, that's going to be a playoff game for them, for one of them to take that spot.
So you don't think there's a trip-up game for Oklahoma? You say you think they can go undefeated?
Yes.
You agree with that?
Well, I do have them as the fourth team. I think the thing that Abdallah is saying is that we're only going to get one SEC team, yes. But what do you do with Auburn? So you're assuming that Bama's going to beat Auburn, mm-hmm. Auburn will be eliminated, yes. And then you're saying that Bama's going to beat Georgia, therefore they're eliminated. I think there is, like, those three teams are going to be really good the entire way through, and there's a chance you can get two of them in.
Because
also, look at the Big Ten. You're going to have two teams fighting for one spot in the Big Ten as well, Ohio State and Wisconsin. Wisconsin's right. Not going to trip up.
I understand that they may be the two best teams in the country when it comes down to it, Alabama and Georgia, and there is, even if it is a close SEC championship game, there can be a case to put them both in. But I think that the committee, when they sit down, the people arguing for these teams are going to say, well, we have four undefeated teams. Those undefeated teams are going to get in.
And that's our playoff predictor here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. This show will be podcast only next week because you two are going on a trip. You're going to see some college football.
We're going down to SEC country. We're going to Knoxville. We will see Tennessee and Florida next Saturday night.
Yeah, thankfully, Florida did us a favor and lost to Kentucky, so this should make the game all that more interesting. But there's nothing more
fun. Way to sell it, Abdallah.
Well, Chris and I went to Alabama LSU last year, and there's nothing like an SEC setting for a game.
No question.
We're both really excited to go down there in Knoxville and see some good SEC football.
No, you're going to go see some SEC football. Not necessarily good SEC football.
We're going to see some football.
Well, a lot of sweet tea as well, guys.
Well, I think that's the only thing that's worth the price of admission in that game. And I'm an SEC fan saying that, so at least you're going to go for the trip for sure. So this will be a podcast-only show, our show produced by Erica Strowski on the other side of the glass. Our thanks to Colin Wilson for being with us, and we thank you for listening as well, not only in Chicagoland but across the country. Thanks so much for listening to Chicago's College Tailgate. Don't forget, for your gambling needs, on the Under the Hood podcast, have you guys checked this out? Value Bet with Joe O, part of the mix. Have you seen this?
I have. I started listening. Excellent stuff.
So check that out on the Under the Hood podcast, Value Bet. For Adam and Chris, it's Jonathan. Thanks for listening to Chicago's College Tailgate, Notre Dame football.